I'm going to be reading the scripture reading today because I just wanted to preface a little bit. We're going to be reading from the second letter of Timothy. And it's important as you're reading this to realize that 1st and 2nd Timothy are very intimate letters between Paul and Timothy, who very much have like a father-son relationship, even though they're not biologically related. He's very much been a mentor, and these are kind of his final words to him, imparting all that he has unto him. And this is the opening of the second letter. And just as we're reading it, you really get a sense of the intimacy and just the tender love that is here. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to come before the Word today with openness and humility. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be the great teacher here today. We give you thanks for the role of mentors and fathers in our life. And we pray that today you would empower us and renew our commitment to be mentors and fathers to those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I go further in the message, I just want to bring attention to some folks who have difficulty hearing. I do have the insert, so you can actually look at the different points of my message, and you can go back later for Bible study. If you had any questions about the message, you can also talk to me as well. We want to make sure that the message is as accessible as possible to everybody. So please let me know if there's any other way I can help you with that. All right. Well, today this is a great day. Father's Day is a real special day because it brings up so many emotions. You know, it is such a wonderful day. And as I had mentioned in our last time we talked about Mother's Day, you know, it brings up a lot of emotions, doesn't it? Maybe some of us here today are rejoicing. We have a wonderful father. We have a wonderful relationship with our father. And today is really a day that we cherish and look forward to. But there is a reality. Some of us may not have our fathers here today. Maybe they no longer walk with us on this earth. It is a time of kind of quiet pause and reflection and sadness. Maybe some of us actually have a very difficult relationship with our father. We've gone through some very difficult times. I remember going to one Christian conference about inner spiritual healing, and it was amazing the number of women that had actually been at that conference who all stood up when saying that they needed healing in their relationship with their fathers. And, you know, these are kind of things that we don't want to address as much. But the reality is when we come before the image of Father, we have a lot of different things we bring to the table. And I want to encourage you to let you know that sometimes what we like to do is, like, we look at our father and then we project what God is like. Well, my God is going to be like my dad. with all of his faults and his problems. But today I want to encourage you to receive all that your fathers are, good and bad, and to see that our Heavenly Father receives all of us in grace. And today is a day to celebrate. And so I know some dads, when they look at Father's Day, they're thinking, you know, Mother's Day, they get everything. They get the brunch, they get the flowers, they get all this and that. And when his dad's like, hey, Dad, good job, high five. You know, like, what? But I do want to acknowledge, just like we did the Mother's Day sermon, that there are many aspects of fatherhood that we see the grace of God coming through to us. And today, I mean, through Scripture, if you do a Bible study, it is just amazing to see if there's one kind of analogy that God uses to kind of describe the fullness and the complexity of who God is, you might be led to say that it is actually the role of father that is most complete. And so I don't want to do an intense Bible study of the role of fathering throughout Scripture, because, I mean, we'd be here for years. But I did want to talk about one special grace of fathering. And again, I want to encourage our sisters to not feel left out today, is that you are called to be spiritual fathers as well. And some of you are thinking, like, what? That sounds very strange. But what I want to talk about is a very special grace of fathering, which is called mentoring, that we see in the relationship of Timothy and Paul. And I really do believe there is a call for our sisters to be mentors, to work in this fatherly grace as well. And I encourage all of our dads here to grow in this grace of mentoring. But I also encourage folks who don't have children, even college students, even high school students, you have a role to mentor those under you. And I encourage you to just really listen to this today, because there is a real need for Christian mentoring in our church today. I really do feel that a lot of the grace, a lot of the nurturing, a lot of why I am here today standing before you as a pastor is really because I receive that grace of God of fatherly mentoring. And so I want to extend to all of you today, there is a challenge. There is a call for Christian mentoring. And you see the beauty of it in Paul and Timothy. You know, if you want to look at a great biblical example of what does it look like to be a Christian and to mentor and spiritually nurture other people, you just need to look at Paul and Timothy's relationship. We see that in verse 1, Paul and Timothy were so close that he even addresses him as his own son. And I love that about CCC is, like, when I came into this place, I noticed everyone was saying, you know, oh, he's my aunt. I mean, she's my aunt. He's my uncle. You know, and actually I found out later you actually all are related. But when I came in at first, I thought, oh, isn't that sweet? So, you know, you're all one big family. But then I found out you are a big family. But there is something to that, you know. There's something very powerful, like when we baptize somebody, I hope people realize, you know, when someone is baptized in our church, there is an understanding that they are now a part of our family, that they are now, they are committed to us, but we are now committed to them as well. We are here to help each other grow in Christ, and there is a commitment there. And it really does feel like the closest bond, the bond of the spirit and the heart. And it's in this bond between generations that we can strengthen our homes and our churches. You know, we are called to be a family that is much greater than just our family connections. But we are called to be a family that is connected, not through blood, but through Christ. And so today, you know, if you're not Chinese, you are a part of our family. If you did not grow up in this church, you are a part of our family. All of you, whether you are in the center or on the fringe, all of you are a part of this family. And so what I want to challenge us today on Father's Day is, how can we be spiritual mentors, fathers to each other? And as I did a study through 2 Timothy verses 2 to 14, these are four observations that I had about what it means to be a Christian mentor. To be a Christian mentor. What does it look like according to the scriptural account of Timothy and Paul? And the first thing is this. what I saw was in verse 3. It is to be a person of continual prayer. We read in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. And I think a lot of folks, when they hear about mentoring, they're thinking about qualifications. They're thinking about, my reputation, my accomplishments. But what I see here in Scripture, the first thing that really marks a Christian mentor is this, is that someone who is committed to praying. Specifically, and I want to kind of make this more specific, someone who's committed to praying for others. When I read about Paul, I discovered that he had a commitment to pray for Timothy. Whenever Timothy came into mind, he kind of just watered him. He nurtured him through prayer. Before he did any actions, before he gave any speeches, before he gave any teachings, I constantly remember you in prayer. And in my own life, I think about my parents. And I'll be really honest. Nowadays, it's amazing. You go into a bookstore, and have you seen the parenting section? It's huge. It's all of these books about the latest, greatest tricks of, child development and how you can be a great parent and how the previous generation didn't know this and that. And, now we have all this research and technology and science. Now we can be great parents. And so when I read these books and stuff, I look at my parents and I'm thinking like, wow, they failed big time. I mean, if my parents went through these books and went through these tests, I mean, they would have got more than enough. I mean, they would have been kicked out. I would have been taken away. I don't know. I would have been better off, raised by wolves, according to some of these experts. And, I look at it and I think it's a miracle that I'm here today pastoring people. I'm not a basket case. And some of you might think I am a basket case, but we'll talk later. But you know what my parents said? They said, we weren't very educated. We didn't know much. But what we did know was this. We were going to pray for you. And we're always praying for you. When you look at our family, we have three people who are strongly committed to Christ in different ways. My other sister is doing ministry inside and outside of the church. I'm a pastor. And considering what my dad went through as a pastor, I mean, it's a miracle that I followed him, considering how difficult his life was. My parents look at this and they think it's very strange. There's really nothing that we can credit to ourselves. But what we did know how to do was we knew how to pray. And I can't emphasize this enough, is that before we think about how can I be a good mentor? What's the right words I need to say to inspire young people? You must be a person committed to prayer. Is there someone in this church? You don't have to pray for everyone, but are there a couple of people in this church that you could, or someone in your life that you could just commit? This is someone I'm going to water in prayer. This is someone I'm really going to nurture in prayer. Day and night, I will call them to mind and pray for them. And be ready to see what God will do with it. And you'd be surprised. The first thing of a Christian mentor is actually about being a person of continual prayer. The second thing is about being a person of encouragement. Verse 6 says this, for this reason, Paul is saying to Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. And the word encouragement is very interesting. It's about giving courage to other people. It's about giving them the will and the determination to do something. And I love this this analogy that Paul says about fanning into flame the gift of God. And elsewhere we read about, that wonderful verse about, children honor your parents. But many parents forget about that next part. Don't exasperate your children. And then this is where the kids go, yeah! How come I didn't hear about that in Sunday school? I'm exasperated, right? I think why I wanted to bring that up is that there's something about, as a pastor, I don't have children myself, but definitely when you're pastoring, you have to learn how to be a spiritual father to a lot of people of a lot of ages, and it's very challenging. And I don't know if you've experienced this in parenting, but you really want your children to be the best that they can because you see it in them, you see the potential, and you're so excited for them, and you feel so strongly about, you know what is right for them and you want them to do it. But what happens when they don't take your advice and they go in the opposite direction, when they don't listen to you? Don't you wish you had some kind of like computer microchip that you could just like put inside their brain and they'd automatically listen to you? You know, as a pastor, I'm hoping that someone will invent this one day. It'd make preaching much easier. But it doesn't happen. You know, have you noticed the funny thing about fanning, you know, a flame? You know, flame lives off of oxygen. So if we blow gently into a flame, you watch how it begins to grow, you know, and you see how the flame becomes more and more powerful with these gentle breezes. But have you noticed, like, in impatience, you want to blow out the flame? You know, paradoxically, if you blow too hard, you're going to blow away the actual fuel for the flame, and then you suffocate the flame. And this is the delicate art of encouragement that I want to encourage for all of us, for our younger brothers and sisters and our children. You know, we need to ask daily, come before God. Sometimes we get exasperated. We get frustrated. And we just want to, like, lay out that hurricane of truth to those under us. You know, this is what you need to do because I know what's going on. And you know what you find out happens? You suffocate and you snuff out the flame. But Paul is saying to Timothy, remember to fan the flame. And this is what Paul does with Timothy. He fans it. There are times, you know, I don't know if some of you are like very savvy with fireplaces. I am not. But it's this really delicate art, isn't it? Of you need to know when to give it. You need to give it that oxygen. You need to give it that air to encourage it. But there are times we need to hold off a bit. And I want to just encourage and remind people that CCC definitely has the resources. The fire is here. Even though some people may get frustrated. We want like a blazing fire right now. But there must be some patience of how to breathe in to that flame. And so I want to encourage some of our seniors to realize that you still have this important, valuable role to encourage and to breathe life into those under you. You know, families, it's important that you breathe life and to show other people, like, how can they become empowered to be good parents in the future? College students, I want to say, and young professionals, you have a great, important role to fan into flame for our youth students. You know, for a lot of our high school students, some of you maybe even came through church, Cool Church Kids. And as if you noticed this year, we have a lot of new kids who come into Cool Church Kids. They're pretty rough around the edges. They're pretty loud. But, you know, weren't you guys like that too? And you still are, right? I'm just kidding. But all of us have a role to play. You know, some of us maybe who are thinking we're students, I'm not a mentor. I'm going to just sleep through this message. You do have a role for this. All of us do. And the challenge is, how do we fan into flame? Sometimes when we lose patience with people, we just want to like, look, this is what you're supposed to do. See you later. But that doesn't really fan into flame anything. A commitment is required to stand by people and at times gently fan them, at times like vigorously fan them, so that we may all be encouraged to do the work of God that we've been called to. The third thing is that we are called to be people who invite others to serve God. And as a pastor, as a spiritual father at times, this is a challenge too. I've been in some church settings where, you know, the best way to do things is like people, you know, they identify you and they just kind of push you over the deep end. You do this, boom, just do it. I don't know how to do it, too bad. Boom, they just kind of push you into it. And in fact, I remember going to one church where people were kind of rebuking me, saying like, you know, Pastor Sam, you need to be a lot more aggressive about telling people what to do in a church. And to be honest, I tried it. I have tried. There is something more satisfying because you kind of tell people what you want to do and how you want to do it. You know, you force people to do it, and sometimes they actually even listen to you. Sometimes. But what I discover is that the effects of it are very short term. You know, I think of like these very domineering fathers, you know. It's so much easier just to yell at your kids and just say, like, you know, do it because I said so because I'm dad, you know? I remember once my dad, like, quoting him, was like, just say yes, sir, okay? And just do it, okay? It was funnier in Korean. But you know, he was dead serious when he said it. I was like, are you for real? Are you serious? Did you just tell me that? I'm not, like, you're in your chain of command or something like that. But, you know, there's a difference. When Paul talks here about the gospel, he doesn't say, look, you should do this because I did it, and you better do it too. He says in verse 8, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And this is a lot more difficult. But when we invite people into the work of God, when we invite people to grow in Christ, not all will receive that invitation, sadly. And that is my experience. But when people come through invitation, they come because they have chosen it for themselves. But if we force people into it, what usually happens, the fruit that we get is resentment. People say, like, you know, I never wanted to do this anyways. Look at all the time I've wasted, you know, just following you because I had to. And, you know, in a lot of Confucian culture, this whole understanding of obligation and duty, much of what we do, we try to just inspire our children through just forcing them. But as a result, we have many churches now fueled not upon joining with the work of Christ, but more we are just kind of being dragged along by Christ. And that can only take you so far. And in fact, we are living in a time where many Asian American churches, if you are over 25, it is a miracle that you are here at church. Because many have left the church because they have grown up in this oppressive, you know, spiritually oppressive way of just forcing people, like spiritually bullying people into ministry. It can work for a while. And then you can get kind of fooled into thinking like, oh, look at all the productive fruit we have. But God is not interested in the fruit that lasts for 4 years. He is interested in the fruit that lasts for your whole lifetime. And so God is inviting you into something. And, you know, for young people, I encourage you to really learn from the older members of our congregation. They're in this for the long haul. You know, they are not the kind that were just sort of this flaky thing, like, you know, I'm just kind of being here for Jesus when it's comfortable. They followed an invitation to Christ, and they have been faithful for longer than you have been alive. And there's much to learn there. And how did they get such perseverance? Because they heard the call, the invitation. You know, I would love to force all of you to do some great ministry project. But I know I would be cheating you spiritually. I would be a bad spiritual mentor if I did that. You know, parents, I know there's this temptation to force our kids to do these things, but there is a power in inviting through grace. And to do it not with our own strength, but as Paul says, through the power of God. To be a person who invites others to serve God. And the fourth thing I want to talk about is about being a living example. Verse 13 says this, what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Now, this I left this for the last one because I think personally this is the most difficult. I've talked to some parents, and you know, I find this very interesting, is that when I start hanging out with parents and such, you meet their children. Have you noticed how they start adopting little things from their family? Like, once in a while, Rhea and I were talking about one of her coworkers, and, you know, she does, like, social work and such with education, and she was walking, and she's walking away from the child, and then the daughter kind of went to the mom and said, wait, mom, wait, no child left behind, you know? And this, you know, and the daughter was like, and the mom was like, where did you learn that? But she realized that, you know, she does a lot of work with education with children. You know, they pick up these things. Have you ever, like, come home one day and your child just quotes something and you're like, that sounds like a 50-year-old man. Where'd you get that from? You know? Or they start kind of, or one day you come home and they're scowling. And you're like, where did you get that terrible scowl from? And you look in the mirror like, oh, it's from me. You know? You know, where did you get that annoying habit from? And, you know, it's funny, like, my mom, when she visited me last, she said, you know, this really makes me uncomfortable, but there are so many things you do now that look just like your father, like just the way you hold your head and you kind of think like this, and it really, you know, it's really strange for me. And that's what sort of terrifies us as spiritual mentors. We fear what they're going to copy because we can't control it. We wish, you know, those underneath us, our spiritual children and our real children, would only copy the wonderful things and then show it to the whole world, you know? Where did you get that wonderful attribute from? Oh, from my father, you know? But then they get the ugly things too. And so there's a lot of trepidation. You know, many of us, when I talk about being a living example, and as a pastor as well, we get into this almost like spiritual paralysis. I want to be such a good person, and you try so hard. And constantly, day in, day out, you're reminded, I am not a good example, if you're really honest with yourself. But you know, this is an interesting thing. Is when I was reading this verse again, what you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. I realized, you know, when Paul's talking about being a living example, he's not just talking about one aspect. He's not saying, look, just do the good things I do and forget about the rest. He's saying, look at the whole pattern, the whole teaching of faith and love of Christ Jesus in me. And I thought about this more, especially this week for me. I was actually hung up on verse 13. And the whole other sermon, it kind of came kind of quickly. But verse 13 was a bit of a hard spot that I really wrestled with in prayer this week. And I realized one of the most powerful things that we can also model for those underneath us is not just our excellence, but what do we do in the face of failure? And many people don't like think about this as a modeling kind of thing. But I really want to encourage people, you know what, a younger generation needs to see how do people above us, how do they struggle with sin, how do they fail, and how do they repent, and how do they receive grace from God? You know, because all my life, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel like I have such like this need to like overachieve and be the best that I can? It's because no one really showed me a pattern of what does it mean to be a person living in grace. Because the reality is, and this might be a shocker, as I remember, you know, those above us are not perfect. You know, even those who have had decades and decades and decades of experience of life, they make mistakes. But what I discovered in our kind of culture is that we often want to cover up our mistakes. And so I grew up thinking of this lie. That if I make a mistake, I'm the only guy who's making a mistake. I look at my mentors, they don't make mistakes, they're perfect. And so I keep perpetuating this lie to the people underneath me. I don't want to show them that I make mistakes. And then they don't want to show people underneath them. And we keep enforcing this cycle of guilt. You know, one of the most powerful mentor moments that I had with my father was, I remember my grandmother in Korea, I never got to see her. Growing up, my father always promised that we'd be able to save enough money to go see her in Korea. But we never had enough money. And then one day we got a phone call that she had passed away. And just the guilt and the pain that my dad could not have his children see his own mother. You know, it was so painful for him. And I remember that day as we were kind of sitting around reading the Bible and praying, and he talked about his mom, he started to cry. And I had never seen that before, ever. It almost like shook my world. But it was at this moment where I saw, this is a man who struggles with weakness. And that was probably one of the most profound mentoring moments for me, is to realize that I can be a spiritual mentor and a father and not have it all together. And, you know, that's what I really want to encourage. What we need more models of. We do need models of excellence, absolutely. And I think I don't need to go too far about that. You know, you look in politics, I mean, it's just the scandals that are happening right now. I mean, we need more excellence everywhere. I don't think I have to preach too much about that. But you know what I'd love to see? For those people who fail, I would love to see an example of someone who knows about the power of repentance and the power of grace. To know about what it means to forgive and to be forgiven. And if CCC could grow in this great grace of being a living example of grace, Imagine how we could influence the generations behind us, that we could flourish this new movement of grace, to receive it and to impart it unto others. You see, what Paul received was that he was a very zealous man. He was perfect in every way, but he persecuted the church. He was so wrong. His testimony is that he was really wrong before God, but he righted his ways and found the grace of God. And that's what he mentors. That's what he models for other people. And today, all of us are spiritual fathers somehow. Let us be honest with the people that we mentor, that we are not perfect people, but we have received the grace of Christ. And now, would you join with me in that great grace of Christ? We are all called to model Christ and impart Christ unto others. And I see Christ shining brightly in us here. We have a call to future generations to give that great blessing of mentoring. Let's take the call. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you, and we want to hear your call and your conviction to be great spiritual mentors, mentors of grace, of prayer, of patience, of invitation and love. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to not just think about the generation that is present right now, but to think about the future generations, that we would be nurturing and that we would continue to extend Christ far beyond our own circles. Show us, God, that all of us have a very important personal role to play in this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 At this time, let us honor God with our tithes and offerings. Let's prepare our hearts.